Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Shankelberg, and I'm once again joined by James Kovacevic. I think I actually pronounced it right.
You're right on. Thanks, Fred.
Yeah, my wife was coaching me and laughing at me that I was having so much trouble with that. So hopefully she hears this as she edits and appreciates that. Well, we'll see how it goes for the next couple of them.
Yeah, you'd be amazed. I was at the SMRP conference last week. I presented two papers there, and the amount of people that had a problem pronouncing my last name, almost everyone that I talked to. So by the end of the conference, it's James K.
James K. Yeah. I often just use, just call me Fred.
It makes it easier.
Well, you did a couple of papers at the conference.
Yeah, I presented two papers. So I had the opportunity Tuesday to present a paper on what I call the five levels of maintenance scheduling. So how do you get the right work in the queue, prioritize it, and schedule that work so you're actually doing the right work at the right time in your organization?
Well, isn't that's pretty easy, James. You wait for somebody to complain about what's broken, and whoever the highest ranking person is gets the team first.
It's funny because during that presentation, I asked the question, how many people use the squeaky wheel prioritization method? And about half the hands in the room went up I asked that.
It has a name. I mean, it's got to be official.
Yeah. But that's not the right way because, pet projects get put above critical repairs that could shut down an operation. Mm-hmm. It's just not the right way. So that whole paper was on how do you set up the proper prioritization system? How do you manage all that incoming work so you get done what you need to get done within your organization?
Okay. Yeah. That sounds like we should just do a whole session on that if I remember right, you have a planning and scheduling course. That's still available, isn't it?
Yes. So we have a online e-learning course on maintenance plan scheduling. It's actually going through a revamp at the moment. It'll be updated with a bunch of interactions and a bunch of updates based on some of the feedback. But if you do purchase now at the price, when it gets upgraded, you'll get lifetime access to the upgraded version as well.
Wow, that's cool. All right. Well, yeah, we'll have to circle back to that one, James, and talk more about that course. And, it might be worth doing a couple of webinars that kind of help people understand why they would want to take that course. And also talk about some of the key benefits of doing, like your paper. Let's just do your paper on a webinar.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great feedback. I had 151 people attend that presentation.
Cool. How many business cards you get out of it?
Oh, I got quite a lot. I actually got a contract for coming up shortly out of that. So,
that's icing on the cake. That's great. Good for you. Yeah. All right. So you had another paper too.
Yep. And that paper was on the Wednesday and first thing in the morning, 8 a.m. And that was on gatekeeping the storeroom. And what that is essentially how do you evaluate spare parts requests for stocking and control what you're actually holding within your storeroom. So you're not overstocking, and as a result of that overstocking, you're not throwing stuff out because it's obsolete or because it goes bad or whatever the case is. It's how do you really truly understand what to put in the storeroom and how to determine a min-max level for that.
Right, right. You don't need to buy that $50,000 gearbox that you're going to use 10 years from now because it'll be a rusted mess by the time you get to it, unless you take a lot of care to maintain it.
And that's one of the critical pieces. If you are going to put in the storeroom, you still have to do maintenance on it, even if it's not on the machine. And that's something that's often overlooked.
There's simple things like rotating belts and motors and oil coatings on metals and just all kinds of stuff. But it's simple things. There's a different kind of maintenance, but it still takes care to make it work.
Exactly. And that's why you don't want to overstock stuff because then you're doing that maintenance on way too many things.
And things you're not going to use for 20 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we talked about it. I've moved into a new home. And one of the things the previous owners did is they left a lot of the spare light bulbs that they had. And some were walking around the house going, where does this go? Is this just the bulb they had and they just left it because they didn't know where it went? We had two large bins full of light bulbs, all kinds of light bulbs. So if you need a light bulb, let me know. I can send it to you. But we're, you know, and we've got to put them someplace. We don't want them to break. We don't want them to get wet, all those other things. But it's like, do we, so we're looking for, if it doesn't go anywhere in the house, let's give it to Goodwill or, you know, give it to somebody else because we just don't need it. So did you get at 8 o'clock in the morning, James, did you get 150 people?
You know what? I didn't get the exact count, but the room was full. Same room as the previous day, and it was full. There's people lined up against the wall. So I think it was just as much or more than the first day. So I was very awesome. Pleased with the turnout.
Well, we should back up a little bit. Now, the speaking of reliability and a lot of the other hosts that we have are tend to be focused on product reliability. So I'm so happy that you're joining us on the show on a regular basis so we can talk more about the maintenance side of things, the asset management side. But SMRP may not, I'm sure there's people in the audience that know exactly what that is and might have even been there. We'd love to hear from you as what your thoughts were on the conference. But can you, James, give us just a quick rundown of what is this conference and what's it about?
So this, to me, is the premier conference of the year for maintenance and reliability professionals. I believe they had over 1,800 attendees, maybe 1,500. I can't remember.
Wow.
Good but size. It was a tremendous amount of people. They have six different tracks ongoing at any given time. Mm-hmm. And during each one of those tracks has, I want to say, five or six presentations per day. And they do 2 days of those presentations.
So your presentation's not a 20-minute in and out. You get some time then to present.
You get a full hour to present and answer questions. And then you have 15 minutes between the next next presentation. So you can take that full hour. And then a lot of the times those conversations carry out into the exhibition area or out into the hallways to you know, keep talking about that same topic. You know?
Right. No, the conference, that's huge. That's a big conference.
Yeah, it took over the whole Hyatt Riverfront in Jacksonville this year. So
cool. And does it rotate locations? And
yeah, it's actually going to be in Kansas City, Missouri next year.
Okay.
And I want to say, I think it was Cincinnati last year. So it rotates locations every year. And in addition to those, you know, those presentations that go on, there's all kinds of workshops that take place as well. So on the Monday, there's a bunch of full day workshops. There's a bunch of half day workshops and the same thing on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then Friday they had tours of various facilities. So Anheuser-Busch, there's a facility of the brewery there. Mm-hmm. There was a tour of Jacksonville Naval Air Station to see how the Navy takes care of their aircraft. So they really leverage the community to share that knowledge across everywhere. They also take advantage of having everyone there to proctor a whole bunch of exams. So whether you're looking to get your CMRP, CMRT, or your CAMA exam or certifications, they proctor those, I think, almost every day after the tracks let out. So,
Wow. Every day. That's a lot of testing. But it's sponsored by the SMRP, which is the Society of Maintenance and Reliability Professionals, if I remember the acronym.
Yep. Yeah, it's sponsored by them. There's a ton of exhibitors. The exhibitors, as usual, were fantastic, willing to help people out, talk to them, walk them through. There's even a couple that were giving away frameworks and methodologies to help people in their journey. So. It's always a great group of people. It's always a great time going, and I can't wait for next year. So,
all right. Well, sounds like you've got the formula. You're getting the presentations in there, and immediately leading to business. That's really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's perfect. So, I mean, I'm sure you talked to tons of folks. What was your impression of who attends?
So it was a mix. So I talked to the majority of the people I talked to are people in the plants every day, fighting that good fight, trying to improve maintenance and reliability in their organization. Mm-hmm. there was a couple other consultants there in addition, you know, presenting papers, listening to papers, staying up on the latest. But the majority were the practitioners, the guys in there every day. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because there was a wide mix of them. A lot of the ones I talked to were younger guys right out of engineering school, you know, maybe a year or two out, put in charge of, hey, you got to figure out this storeroom in our spare parts program and just kind of hand it off to it. So
man, there's 50,000 parts coming and going every day. And they're like, what?
Exactly. So the one thing they do, SMRP does well at their conference is each presentation is ranked as beginner, intermediate, or advanced. Mm-hmm. So if you're new to maintenance reliability and you want to learn about storerooms and you're at the basics, just look for those beginner tracks and go after those.
Yeah, that makes sense because it's kind of overwhelming, especially if you're new to the industry of the, you know, maintenance and asset management. There's a lot to learn, and six tracks simultaneously, that makes it a bit hard to prioritize if you don't know what the titles even mean.
Exactly. But no, overall, the majority of people I talked to were those practitioners. They're there just to learn the basics, a lot of the ones I talked to, and some were just there to understand what's new and emerging and the trends that are going on within maintenance reliability.
So what'd you think of the younger folks that you're seeing coming out of school and getting started? Are they well prepared, or is it, I know University of Tennessee has a reliability engineering with a slant towards asset management type program, but they're probably not the only school putting out people going into the maintenance world.
Well, all the newer people I talked to, they didn't have that reliability background. They were mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, chemical mm-hmm. engineers mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. were put in charge of these programs. So a lot of them didn't have an understanding of how that whole asset management framework is supposed to work. So they were there to learn the basics.
Okay. But that's the same in product development. Is one of the things I've run into over the years is that the master's and PhD programs that are producing specifically reliability engineers come out with a lot of book knowledge, but no practical knowledge. And on the other side is folks that have been in the design or say plant supervisor or operations task work of some sort or another, and then get moved into the reliability world. Understand the language, understand what the priorities are for the business. They understand some of the, how things get done in the business world. They have the engineering background in most cases and either design or maintenance work under their belt. And then they pick up reliability. Do you see a mix of that or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. There was, you know, the younger people fresh out of school, but then there was a lot of practitioners who, you know, came up through the ranks, whereas, you know, they were a mechanic, became a maintenance supervisor, then they moved to planner, and they graduated and understand everything from the ground up.
Right. I don't think one's better than the other. And even the folks that come out with a reliability engineering degree, it's. I think the knowing how the plant operates and how things get done is something you got to learn quickly if you're coming in fresh. But if you grew up through the ranks, it's a different challenge, right? To learn the reliability stuff.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. Not one way is better than the other. It's just a different approach to getting to the end goal, mm-hmm. which is essentially what we do in reliability every day. Sometimes you use this type of analysis, sometimes you use that type of analysis, and we're just trying to get to that same end goal of a reliable process or equipment.
That's right. I think one of the, questions I ask people when they say they're a reliability engineer is, so, you know, how often do you use, what software do you use for Weibull analysis or something like that? And sometimes I get the deer in the headlights, you know, Weibull, what's that?
And it's true. That Weibull analysis, CROAMS analysis isn't as prevalent in asset management or maintenance and reliability departments as it should be. And there's a variety of reasons for it, but it's not. And that's a shame because we're making a lot of decisions, not based on data, but based on intuition and guessing.
Well, I take it though at the conference there was a handful of courses that were focusing on that.
There was some that talked about collecting the right data. There mm-hmm. was some that talked about what to do with that data. Variety of different things went on, or variety of different topics covering that end. Reliability analytics okay. is what we refer to it as.
Well, one thing I've heard, you know, every now and then I hear the question is, what's the better certificate, the CRE or the CMRP? And it really depends on what world you're in and where your experience is, which one is suitable for you and will grow you professionally.
I agree 100%.
But one of the questions I've gotten is that the CRE tends to have way more math and statistics, where the CMRP has some, but it's not a dominant piece of it. But even calculating how many spares you need to know the failure rate. And it's not, that's where the data fits into it. I feel you need quite a bit of reliability statistics to be effective in asset management.
It definitely does help. But one of the big things that comes into play with, and the CMRP covers it quite well, is understanding organizations, understanding change, understanding mm-hmm. leadership. Because mm-hmm, if you mm-hmm. can't manage change through an organization, if you don't have that leadership, chances are your maintenance reliability improvements aren't going to be adopted and they're not going to be sustained.
Yeah,
so that's true. They do emphasize the importance of understanding how maintenance reliability fits into the overall business strategy, how to implement change, how to sustain it, project management, it touches on project management. So it's not just the technical aspects of delivering that program. It's also covers some of the softer side of things. How do you get people on board? How to motivate a group of people mm-hmm, and that mm-hmm, sort of thing.
Because mm-hmm. I think every maintenance program I've ever been a part of or witnessed is it's always a team. It's not like and on the product development side, oftentimes the reliability engineers is the only one in that field working in that area. That they'll have to influence different teams, but they're there at deliberately as a consultant, essentially. Whereas yeah. in the asset management world, you're part of a larger process and team that has to make things happen.
Yeah, and I've seen it where you have that one man team there, fighting a good fight every day. But the moment that person leaves, everything falls apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything walks out the door with you. But what I'm thinking of is teams that have, five or six technicians, they have a planner, they have storerooms folks and somebody doing ordering. And even a small team is 10 people in a lot of cases. So it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
And it might be part-time for some of them, right? But...
Yeah, if you include technicians, 10 people, that's quite a small team. You look at some organizations, they have 100 technicians on any given shift, and mm-hmm. they got four shifts that rotate. So
yeah, and then you add a reliability engineer and say, oh, here's your team, improve the program and improve the uptime. Well, that is a lot to take on all at once.
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely.
No, it sounds like a cool conference. I'm going to have to get myself out there and make a presence. It's just been an area that it's been growing in my work, but it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the Ascendo reliability site. So I have to take a look at that.
If you haven't been, Fred, I highly recommend it. I'm already figuring out what abstracts I'm going to submit for next year for it. So
yeah, I'm the same way with RAMS. It's the big conference, and but I've also been going to it for about 15 years or 20 years. So I know a lot of people that about a third of the audience at RAMS are repeat people coming back every year. And yeah,
it's a great opportunity to, catch up with old friends, make new friends and make those great connections that, that you need to be successful in your professional career.
Yeah, it's very true. And Kirk and I talked about, conferences and the role it plays in professional development, and that networking aspect is harder. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult to do through webinars, where you get to sit next to somebody, or you're walking down the hall, you get to rub elbows way more often. You get way more chances for interaction, where that on a webinar, it's possible, but it's much, much more difficult to get a sustained relationship going.
Yeah. At that conference, you're grabbing lunch and then you're sitting down at a table with a bunch of people you don't know. You're going to have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier that way.
Yeah.
But
we'll have to figure out how to do that on a webinar, is put a lunch table in there.
But what I think you should do, Fred, here's my 2 cents. You should submit an abstract SMRP on Weibull analysis. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fantastic if you did that, because it would bring that tool that you guys use very, very often in product development and that aspect of reliability, you know, create some awareness and some drive for it within the asset management mm-hmm. end of things.
Yeah, I'd probably bundle it with the cumulative plot also, the mean cumulative function for repairable data. So you can take a look at, yeah, it could fill an hour easily. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, maybe just the Weibull.
And they also have, you know, 4-hour workshops if you want to do one of those as well.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. Say it's in Cincinnati?
Nope, Kansas City.
Kansas City next year. All right. Yeah, that might work. I have to dive into that. So if I know, as listeners to the show, if you're already planning to go to SMRP, hopefully you've already met James, or if not, you can certainly find him there next year, it sounds like, and see what I can put together and get myself out there. Might give us a chance to actually meet. That might be a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. The SMRP sounds like a great conference, James. I'm glad it worked out for you and you had a great time, sounds like. And, but it should be in that realm of professional development for anybody that's in that world. It sounds like a great place to go to network, to catch up, to learn, all those good things. Well, what's your thought on this as a listener? If you've been to the SMRP, what are your thoughts? Add a comment or your review, basically, to the show notes. That would be great. But let us know what questions or what other conferences you'd be interested in. We just did a interview for an upcoming conference called Soft Error Rate. And it's a workshop, I think, Soft Error Rate workshop. It's more for the IC development world, but it's the everything in from the production equipment through the packaging, through its implementation, can have radiation or radioactive decay and affect those parts. So James, you get a kick out of this. You'll probably see it in the podcast metrics. It was really a promotion for their conference, and they did they put it up on their website, and we got 2,000 downloads of that in 2 days. So it was like, okay, it's a lot more popular conference than I thought it was. And every year we interview last year was our first year. Hopefully we'll get the new chair of the RAMS conference and interview them. So James, and maybe you'll have to hook me up with who's organizing the SMRP, and we can do an interview with them on the show.
Absolutely. I'm trying to work on getting some people from SMRP on my podcast as well. So,
all right, good. We'll get them some publicity, because I don't think it hurts. And it helps our listeners learn about what's out there and what options they have. So it's all good.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, so his final thought is you can find this episode over at reliability.fm and look for Speaking of Reliability, and you can find the show. There's ways to leave comments or messages for us there. Also, if there's a conference or a show that you find particularly valuable and would like us to explore a little bit more and maybe get their organizing team on the show to talk more about it, we'd love to do that. So just let us know. And I think that sounds like a good spot to wrap it up. So what do you think, James? Any other thoughts on the conference?
The only thing I can add is, if you're not going to a conference, try really, really hard to go. I know sometimes companies are restrictive on their travel, but push hard. I know a lot of the big conference organizers have justification letters on their website that you can use to help have that conversation with your boss. Really, if you can, get out to one at least a year. It definitely helps in professional development, networking. And the one big thing it allows you to do is you understand you're not the only one fighting that battle that you're fighting, whether it's spare parts, whether it's plan scheduling, whether it's equipment reliability, you're going to realize that there's a lot more people in that same spot as you trying to work through that issue. And you know, it may not help you solve it. It may, because you get some insights you may not have had, but at least to let you know you're not alone.
Yeah, that is a bad feeling to have. And you know, and through the conferences, I'm sure it's with you too, James, is you get to know some people that, you know, you get to see really only once a year at the conference, but they become longtime friends. You can call and ask a quick question, or you can look for support. You can offer support to them also. It's built some, for me anyway, some really longtime friendships in a professional world that we're in. That's been nice.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I guess we could talk about conferences for quite a while. So let me wrap this one up. We've gone a little long, but that's all right. And well, so thanks again, James, for joining me, and we'll get you on the show again soon.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.